I was at a wedding reception recently and was talking to a woman who goes to services at the O'Connell Gospel Chapel. And I knew what she was going to ask me when we got talking a little bit more. And of course, the first question she asks is, so what do Catholics believe about works and salvation? Because she's unfortunately asked lots of Catholics how they get to heaven and or if they know they're going to heaven. And the standard response from most Catholics is, well, I'm a pretty good person. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. To which I'd want to slap them, because that's not what our Catholic faith teaches. Our Catholic faith does not teach that if you're good enough, you get to go to heaven. But somehow, that's what most Catholics have picked up, and so that's what she understandably thinks that the Catholic Church believes about salvation. No, none of us is good enough to go to heaven. And that's because heaven is a free gift from the God who loves us and who wants his children to be with him. And so none of us could earn adoption as into a family. And so none of us can earn adoption into God's family. It's a free gift. And the good works that we do are works that we do in response to God's love for us. So Mary, in her exalted position as the Queen of Heaven, as the Immaculate Virgin, is really received all of this as a gift from God. And all Mary really did was say yes to that gift, but then live in her identity as a child of God, as the mother of the Savior. She received the identity that God gave her, and she embraced that identity. And that's what we are called to do as well, to receive our identity as God's children and to live in that beautiful identity. We went on to talk a little bit about saints, and I was trying to share how the Catholic Church is one big family, and so our priests are called fathers, our nuns are called sisters, our pope, really, pope comes from Papa, he's the big daddy. All of this beautiful family imagery, how Mary is our mother, and the saints are all our brothers and sisters. And she said, were the saints all real people? And I said, yes, they were. And I could think how you might, you know, think that we had thought up Saint so-and-so with his fantastic miracles. But yes, every saint was a real person. They really lived. They really died. They were really our brothers and sisters. We don't need to make this stuff up, because God gives to real, ordinary people amazing things. God gives these gifts, and we receive them. You know, we might ask ourselves, though, why does God bother? Like, why does God bother working through Mary when obviously Jesus can do all the work? Jesus is the King, the Lord. He's our Savior. He's the one we need. So why would God add all these extra people? One beautiful analogy that I stumbled upon comes from the kingdom of David. We know that when Jesus preaches the kingdom, that he's going to give he's the new king. He's come from the Father to receive the kingdom. And the kingdom is this kingdom of David. David was this perfect king, or not exactly perfect, but he was sort of the first king that the Israelites really considered to be a really godly king. And they were looking forward to this restoration of the earthly kingdom of David. But God had a new plan to take that kingdom analogy, that kingdom of David, to raise up a son after the king of David, a descendant from David, but one who would be his own son as well and would be king not just of a little patch of land on earth, but of the whole universe. Now, there's a really interesting feature in the kingdom of David, which is the queen mother, that the second in command in the kingdom was actually the king's mother. And this dates from King Solomon. Does anybody know who King Solomon's mother was?
Bathsheba,
yes. Not exactly, you know, the perfect example of passing on your lineage to children, yet God still uses these imperfect human things to teach us things. So there's a scene in the first book of Kings, chapter 2, when Adonijah, who's an older son to King Solomon, wants a special favor. So he goes to the king's mother, he goes to Bathsheba, and asks if she would request this favor from the king. And so this is what happens. Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah. And the king rose to meet her and bowed down to her. Then he sat on his throne and had a seat brought for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. And then on this position, so he's not treating her as a subject, but actually as royalty. And he seats his mother on his right, and this was her privileged position. And she would then have the king's ear, so to speak, and she would help direct the kingdom. And in fact, not only for Solomon, but for all the descendants of King David, they list the king and then the queen mother, you know? I'll find a, try to find one here without taking up too much time. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa began to reign over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And so, in other words, it's listing the king and the queen mother right away. And this was a unique feature of the Davidic kingdom, that every king, his mother was the second in command. So when Jesus arrives in heaven, having successfully completed the mission, there's nothing he wants more than to seat his mother on his right hand in the example of the kingdom of David. And so he assumes her body and so into heaven, and she takes his right, her seat at the right side, and she helps him direct the kingdom. God loves to work through human beings. And so Mary is the human being who God has chosen, not only to be the mother of her son, but also to be the queen of heaven. And yet in this role of queenship, she remains a mother, not only a mother to her own son, but a mother to all God's children. That first reading from Revelation chapter 12, it goes on just a little bit farther, and and so after the serpent is disappointed, it says, then the dragon was angry with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring. Who are the rest of her offspring? On those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. Keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. In other words, this mother of the only son has many other children, and they are all of us. And Mary doesn't forget her children. She cares for each one of them and intercedes with her eldest son on behalf of the rest of us. Mary cannot rest in heaven until her children are safely home. So if you sometimes feel that your life is at war, no surprise there. The serpent is making war on us, and we find the battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. But we have an advocate in heaven, the queen mother, who is also our mother. This is our true dignity as God's children. And so when we pray to Mary, we pray with confidence, knowing that she hears us and cares about every prayer, that she takes them to the throne of Christ, and that they are first in line, that these are God's deepest, God sets in motion the kingdoms of heaven to give us what we need in order to bring us safely home. Brothers and sisters, this is our true identity. We are royalty. We are children of the Most High God. We are sons of the Queen Mother, sons and daughters of the kingdom. And we, just like Mary, we must live in our identity by keeping the commandments of God and testifying to Jesus Christ.